Hey there, it's Bikescape number 36, November 27th, 2005. Okay, so we're up here in Sunnyside Park on a beautiful sunny day in November. It's, you know, practically winter, but for some reason we're having this great heat wave here in San Francisco. We're in our second week of it. It's practically Thanksgiving, and it's the upper 70s. It's so great. And it's great because, Theo, watch where you're going. Theo, my son, who's just turned 7, just maybe about a month ago, you might have heard in an earlier podcast, he just learned how to ride a bike. So he's very happy about that, and thought I'd do this podcast about bicycling with kids. Hey, Theo, come on over here. You want to talk on the podcast for a minute? Oh, he's using the brakes. Got a nice coaster brake. You want to talk about your bike?
Yes.
What kind of bike is that?
I don't know what it's called.
What color is it?
It's green.
You want to pull over and just talk for a minute? He doesn't want to get off. Is it green? Yeah, it's kind of a neon green.
I thought it was a Murray.
It's Dayglo. A Murray. It's a Murray.
Yeah.
Where'd you get it?
At the bike swap.
Yeah, we went to the bike swap. And who was that person who was selling it to us?
Harry.
Yeah, some little girl named Harry. And she learned how to ride on this, didn't she? She was kind of sad, wasn't she, to see it go?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you were happy to get it, though, and now you... So then how did you learn how to ride it so quickly? That was like just last month, right?
Right. I already knew how to balance because I was on the scooter. And they already knew how to pedal because I was already on the alley cat. So I
What's
thought
the alley cat? Tell the listeners what an alley cat it is.
I don't know what an alley cat is.
Well, you know, it's one of those, that bike that hooks on.
It's a little bike with one wheel that hooks onto the bike rack of my dad's bike.
Yeah, so we ride.
And we ride together on it.
It turns our bike into a tandem.
Yeah.
Sort of.
A three-wheel tandem.
Yeah, so you learned how to ride that.
Yeah.
So
that's how I and once I and then I just practiced at the bike swap in a little carpet area, and I was riding around there, and my dad been starting, and then I was able to ride for a second, and then I started to learn there, and then the next day I was at a school, and then I that's where I learned how to ride.
Yeah, that's where we really learned how to ride, huh?
Yeah.
So I ran around behind you, and then I let go, and then you were able to ride, huh?
Yeah.
Were you surprised at how easy it was?
Yeah.
You thought it was going to be really hard to learn, wasn't it? Didn't you?
Yes. We were also able to play a few games on the bike.
Like what? I don't remember.
Well, Dad, we've been following each other around the place.
Oh, that's right. We did circles and figure eights.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're not really ready to ride on the street yet, are we?
Yeah.
What kind of places do we ride in?
I ride in little school places.
The schoolyard?
A little schoolyards. And that's one place I practice. And I also practice at the tennis court or places flat like that.
Yeah, that's where we are right now. Nice smooth concrete. So when we first got the bike, we ran into our friend Cash, right?
Right.
And he said, take off the pedals, right?
Right.
But you didn't need the pedals taken off, did you? I think a lot of kids, you know, a lot of kids need the pedals taken off because they're not used to riding on the Alley Cat. You want to talk about the Alley Cat a little bit? How that feels to ride on that?
No.
I guess not, huh?
Okay. Not right now.
All right. That's your prerogative. So you were also, but you got a feeling of what it's like to be balanced and to ride with the cars and the traffic.
Yes.
Yeah. So when it comes time to ride in traffic, you'll know a little bit about it.
Yeah.
So then you started riding. Now you can ride without me chasing after you, huh?
Yeah.
How does that feel?
Good.
Just good?
Actually, great.
Yeah?
Yes.
What does it make you feel like?
It makes me feel like flying.
Really?
When I go fast.
Really? Like you're going, when you go fast, yeah. Yeah, well, you almost are like you're flying. Just a little bit of rubber is touching the ground, huh?
Yeah.
The rest of you is up in the air. Does it make you feel free?
Yes.
Yeah? Does it make you feel like a big boy?
Yeah, and I like hanging loose when I'm on the bike.
That's the secret, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's the secret to learning how to ride a bike. Hang loose.
Yes.
Yeah. Anything else you want to say?
I'm not sure.
Okay. You want to ride around a little bit?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go for a ride.
Okay.
Oh, we're going the opposite direction. You want to follow me?
Thank you. All right, my name's Liam. Let's see. The earliest bike riding experience I've had, if you can call it that, is in Louisville, Kentucky, riding on the back of my dad's bike in a baby seat, going down to Swenson's Ice Cream back. That's actually probably one of my fondest childhood memories. As for my first, like, real bike, that was a... when I was about 6 or 7 years old, a Diamondback Junior Fox, which was basically a little BMX bike, or at least a wannabe BMX bike, and I rode that thing to death. The first time I was able to pedal, yeah, I remember, like, feeling incredibly, like, everything just was suddenly really smooth and really even and just fast. It was like... It was like that feeling you get when you're on an airplane and it's just taking off and everything's rumbling really fast, and then suddenly the wheels leave the ground and it's just smooths out, and it was like that.
My name is JD, and my story is I grew up in Southern California and I now live here in San Francisco.
Yeah, but the first time you rode a bike.
And the first time I rode... Oh, now you want to know about that. Well, I heard some of the parts of it secondhand because I was very young when I got this bike, and I heard that my folks were up drinking martinis into the midnight hours. This was in the 60s, building this bike. This would be my dad. It's amazing, considering his mechanical capabilities, that the bike held together as long as it did. But it did. And I remember when I got it, it was beautiful, and I rode it around for a long time with training wheels. It was like a cornflower blue. It was a Sears. It was nothing fancy. The first time I rode it without training wheels was the time I remember. And we were in Southern California, up in the hills. And it was a quiet urban street. And it's like, whoa, what is this? I'm like, I can't believe that I'm riding my bike, balancing by myself, and nobody's holding me. It's like the first time I learned how to dive into deep water. It was like I was being able to rely on myself, and I rode all the way down the street. And what was cool was that later, my brother got a Schwinn Stingray 3-speed.
Cool.
And I kicked his ass racing him down the street. I beat him on my single-speed, you know, dumbass Sears ladies bicycle, which was cool because all the little girls, of course, were into ponies. So I would tie strings around the handlebars, so I would ride my bike with strings. And my dad was a reporter, and he would go to the racetrack, and he'd come back and he brought me these beautiful shiny aluminum horseshoes, and I tied them on the bike on the back, and I was like, you know. And the bike's name was Blue Boy. I don't know why I called it that. I just called it that. But so for a while, I was like riding it with, you know, after I got rid of the training wheels, I was riding with the strings. And then we'd ride it up the mountains like mountain bikers, and, you know, hammered down. And it was really fun. You couldn't really ride very far to get anywhere really useful in our neighborhood because neighborhoods back then weren't really constructed so that you could ride somewhere. It was still kind of so stretched out because this was urban Los Angeles in the 60s in Glendale, one of the suburbs, and it was a really beautiful place to grow up because you could hear the coyotes howling at night, but it was all very hilly and you couldn't go to your, you couldn't ride to your school, you couldn't do anything like that. But that was one of my greatest memories. I wish I still had Blue Boy. I was my most favorite bike of all.
Well, my name is Kay Hoskins, and I'm 39 years old. And when I was a very little girl in Wales, I was about 4, I had a bike with training wheels. And my dad is one of those types who kind of has always pushed, because I'm an only child and I'm a girl, and he always wanted a boy. So he really pushed me. And he took my training wheels off and made me ride without my training wheels. and I just went, whoo, down the hill, and it was really great, and I had this sense of freedom and the wind in my hair, and then, bam, I crashed really hard, and I was only 4, and I cried, and...
4 years old, that's pretty early.
And he, yeah, because I left Wales when I was 5, so I figured out that it must have been about when I was about almost 5, 4 or 5, and, yeah, I got no sympathy for that. I got a lot of cuts and no sympathy, but it was fun.
So did you get back on your bike and ride again?
Of course I did, because my dad made me. Because he was a mean...
So when you got it, when did you get it? When did you know you got it?
Oh, as I was going, like, down the hill, which, of course, wasn't really that much of a hill. It just seemed like it, because I was only 4. It might have been even flat. You know, I was pedaling, and I felt like I got it. And I went, and I probably just hit a rock and went, oops, and went, fell. And to me, it was the end of the world because, oh, my God, I crashed. But it really wasn't that bad.
Well, my name is Karen, and I suppose you want to know the first time I rode a bike, huh?
Yeah.
Well, let's see. It was a very long time ago, and I believe it was a blue Schwinn. It had a banana seat and a little, like, one of those sissy... What they call those things in the back there that, like, stuck up, you know, behind
bar.
The seat, the sissy bar behind the seat, you know? And we took the training wheels off, and I got my first ride down the sidewalk, and I immediately, like, 4 houses away, couldn't stop and crashed into a bush. And that was my initiation into bike riding without training wheels, and had several close calls with some cars in the neighborhood, you know, until I learned that, okay, I need to get a little control a little better here. And it was great. And then I got my bike stolen because I left it on the porch overnight. The next day it was gone.
Did your parents give you a hard time about that?
Oh, heck yeah.
You learned a lesson. Always lock your bike.
And it was a few more years before I found another bike. And it was a Huffy 10-speed.
Oh, Huffies.
All right.
That I did my first messenger gig on.
You were a messenger on a Huffy?
Yes.
Blow me.
She's great.
Do you remember?
Yes. It was in the front walkway of my house. And I tried over and over again in the front walkway, and after about maybe 6 or 7 times, I got it. And I had to stop because at the end of the walkway were steps, so it was a little treacherous.
You learn going and stopping at the same time.
Exactly.
Most people just learn going, and then they learn
exactly.
stopping.
Exactly. So
later.
I learned to ride my little blue Schwinn.
You had a blue Schwinn also.
I did.
I had a red Schwinn.
Got a photo
blue
of me.
Schwinn's roll.
Did it have solid tires?
It's got a basket.
Solid rubber tires?
I have no idea, but it had a basket and an electric belt.
How about you, Pi? What was your first experience riding a bike?
When I turned 7, my parents gave me a used black single-speed bike. And they said, if you learn how to ride this bicycle, I get a new one. So every day for a whole month, I would get on top of the hill and try to ride that thing down the hill and keep on going. Like every day, 5 or 6 times a day, I would crash. Finally, I gave up and threw the bike down. Then a week later, we went to visit my uncle. A cousin of mine, who was about 6 months younger than me, was riding a bike around the lot of their property. My father turned around and said, see, he can ride a bike. And I got pissed off. I hopped on the bike and just rode. And that was my first time. And my first new bike was an old Schwinn with solid rubber tires.
My name is Karen, and the first time I rode a bike, I loved it. It took me a really, really long time to learn how to ride a bike. I thought I would never learn. And I had this little green bike, and I lived on a cul-de-sac. And I remember my dad, I had those dumb training wheels, and they just scared me. I never felt comfortable. I'd always go off to one side and think I was going to fall. And I guess I just got too damn big for them. And I guess my dad finally took them off and sort of gave up on me. And then I got so big that my bike, I guess I could touch the ground or something, and I started to ride, and it was such a thrill. It was so great. I just did circles round and round and round and round in that cul-de-sac every day. It was just feeling completely liberated. Like my first sense of being an individual was when I was riding that little green bike.
Yeah, so here we are live, so to speak, for the first time in this podcast, 10, 15 minutes in. It took me a while to get those recordings, most of last week, and got a bunch of them out in front of Cassidy's Bar and Grill, or bar, actually, where all the messengers hang out, and a few non-messenger bicyclists hang out, like myself. And that was fun, and of course, out with Theo there in the tennis courts. Now I'm down in L.A., for Thanksgiving weekend, took a week off of work and down in L.A., so stealing some time to do this in my father-in-law's study. I got my laptop open. There's no Wi-Fi. I'm using his internet on Windows 98. It's all kind of half-assed and haphazard. But anyway, welcome to Bikescape and the podcast that obviously is about bikes and bike culture and where bicyclists go and what they do and what they think about, all that. So, all those accounts, you know, from Theo right through to Karen, were, seems to me, I'm listening to them through just now, I feel like the thing that held them all together, the thread that ran through all of them, through all these people of all different ages, from seven all the way up to about, 50 or so, was that it was basically the theme of overcoming fear and overcoming self-image problems or whatever, you know, you just learning to break through to it, to a new ability, teaching your body to do something and teaching your mind to do something, and being fearless and independent. I think that was when you learn to ride a bike, that's when you first learn to be independent and to actually be responsible for yourself. And that might be part of what the liberating freedom inducing feeling comes from. I don't know. That's my theory. And, of course, I'm looking for a moral in all of this as we come to the midpoint of the podcast. And, breaking through fear. That's something that we as a society really need to learn to do, don't we? We're all so fear-driven these days. I just saw a video, The Politics of Nightmares, and the Politics of Fear. BBC documentary, and it's basically that's how we're running our politics these days, you know, and it's why we're involved in wars. We're trying to maintain this illusory lifestyle that we have in the face of all the evidence of peak oil and of everything coming crashing down. We really like to pretend it's not happening, and we will even go so far as to put a police station in the Middle East, you know, to make sure to try and guard these last little drops of oil that we can just keep driving those SUVs or even those little Geos, you know, even they are not sustainable really when you get down to it. And we're so afraid of even considering an alternative because of the dislocation it might cause. We really need to break through that. I really think that we can blame George Bush for the war and for the lies and all of that, but we can also blame ourselves for being part of this machine. And of course, we're not nothing wrong with us as a country, as people, but I think we do need to think of alternatives. You know, maybe alternative fuels at the very least, and at most, trying to change our everyday lives of on our own personal levels. Not drive so much, not drive at all if possible. It can be done, and it's all a matter of breaking through those fears and being responsible and being free to make your own decisions. Don't just fall in the rut. So, I'm preaching to the choir. I'm preaching, that's for sure. And I'm hoping the choir will go out and spread the gospel, the Velo gospel out there to the world. So enough of that, I guess. Anyway, so what's in the news? What's going on in the world? Well, I do have some news here. What's going on? Let's see. The Bike Kitchen, the San Francisco Bike Kitchen's having a tune-up class Thursday, December 1st. That happens Thursdays through December 15th, 7 to 9:30 p.m. at the Bike Kitchen at 18th Street at Alabama. Any questions, call to Joel at inreverie.org to see if there's still a space left. They're asking for $80 plus parts for these tune-up classes. But you learn to tune up your bike, you never have to learn it again. It's in there. Chris Carlson, you may have heard on this podcast in the past. He's leading a bike tour, an ecological history bike tour of San Francisco. It's happening on Saturday, December 3rd at 11 a.m. Let's see, we are meeting at 1310 Mission Street at 9th at the Counterpulse offices. Shaping San Francisco's Chris Carlson and Nature in the City's Peter Brastow team up on San Francisco's ecological history. This ride will go north past Telegraph Hill, wild parrots and sea lions, North Beach, Fort Mason, Chrissy Field, Tidal Lagoon Restoration, and long-running, I hope I have page two here, long-running restoration projects in the Presidio. They're asking for $15 to $50 sliding scale donation requested, but of course no one's turned away. They are asking for reservations. They're required, actually. The number is 415-626-2060. One of the great things that happens in San Francisco is the Winterfest, put on by the San Francisco Bicycle Coalition. It's their big fundraiser of the year, but it's also a great party. It happens on Sunday, December 4th, from 6 to 10:30 p.m. at SOMARTS Gallery at 934 Brannan at 8th. Huge space. They have a stage. There's music. Huge silent action, silent auction, and a live auction. And they have an art auction by local artists. Food, beer, drinks, entertainment, valet, bike parking. Did I mention beer? They have a lot of beer there. Usually it's Fat Tire likes to donate beer to these things. Not a bad beer and not a bad cause. And a good reason to not drink too much on a Sunday night, but it's great to have a little fun with your friends. I always pick up something good at the auction, too. You know, a pair of bike shoes for $40, things like that. Anyway, $5 to $15, sliding skill for members, or free when you join as a member at the door to the Bike Coalition. Always a good cause. Let's move along here. Oh, there's a Christmas Lights Night Ride, second annual, Sunday, December 11th, 6:30 to 9 p.m., call Robin Marks, or send an email to her, I should say, at robinm@exploratorium.edu. The blurb says, "Ho, ho, ho, light up your bike and cruise by some of the city's more festive and lesser-known holiday displays. Bring blinking lights and snacks to share at our famous hors d'oeuvre stop. Rain cancels." Of course, we got Critical Mass on Friday, December 23rd at 6 p.m. at Justin Pee Wee Herman Plaza at Market Street and the Embarcadero. Also, that's happening in Los Angeles. They have three critical masses on that night. In Los Angeles, the main one in the city at 6 p.m., Wilshire and Western. At 6 p.m., also in Pasadena, they are having another one. That starts at 6, as I say, and it's going to be happening... What's the location? Meet at Wild Oats, 603 South Lake Street at California at 6 p.m. And they've also got one in Long Beach at 7. Meet at the downtown bike station. That should be easy to find at 7 p.m. for a wild ride. And they're asking you to bring masks and noisemakers. And, you know, I just found this website for L.A. I'm covering L.A. a little more intently because I'm down here. Although I'm not seeing any... Oh, by the way, I was walking around with my wife Karen the other night on Hollywood Boulevard, taking in the sights like a tourist, and who should ride by but Critical Mass. So I stood on the sidewalk and yelled, "Woohoo, Critical Mass." So if anybody's listening, that was me, Bikescape, yelling woohoo. Send me an email. I'll tell you. We'll say hi to each other. Let's see. Anyway, it's a small world, isn't it? So anyway, there is this new website, or it's new to me anyway, bikeboom.com down in L.A., and they have a great calendar, calendar.bikeboom.com, and they have an email, calendar@bikeboom.com, where you can send in your events, and they will put them up, kind of bike summer style. It's very nice. Oh, and I also saw on the Bike Boom website that they are going to have, let's scroll back a bit here, they had Bike Summer last summer, which was a raving success, and now it says here Bike Winter is coming. It's a volunteer-run festival. It will run from January 6th through the 15th, and as it was with Bike Summer, anyone can create and host a Bike Winter event and post it to the calendar. So check it out. What else is happening? We got that. Oh, and of course, you know, down in L.A., Midnight Riders is the premier bicycle ride. If you liked riding in a group, in a party group, it's not riding home from work. It's riding late at night. It happens Friday, December 9th, 2005. It happens every month, the second Friday of every month now. You meet at Echo Park, and starts at 9:30 p.m. and it goes till approximately 12:30 p.m. and that's something great. So they have a URL that you can look at the Bicycle Kitchen, the LA Bicycle Kitchen, www.bicyclekitchen.com, and they've got driving directions, but hey, you know, it's LA, sometimes you just gotta drive. And is that it? New York? Do I have anything for New York? Well, they got their Brooklyn ride, and their Manhattan, of course, starts at 7 o'clock at the north side of Union Square, their Critical Mass. And I don't really have New York in front of me, so I can't really tell you much about what's going on there. I know that they're starting a Midnight Riders ride, so check into that. Check out bikeblog.com. That's a great site to look at whatever is up and coming in New York. Also, timesup.org is a good place to check their calendar of events, times-up.org. And, of course, you can look here at the Bikescape blog, bikescape.blogspot.com. It might take me a while to upload this, and then it might take me a little longer while to put the links up that go with each show. But check it out, and let me know if you were able to get that movie. Well, you don't have to let me know. I think it worked, but... maybe I'll get a video camera. We'll start doing some video blogging here too, but don't count on it too soon. But if anybody has videos, short videos they'd like to send, or sound files, by the way, you can do your own report. Somebody in New York wrote to me and said he would like to do a report about the Williamsburg Bridge, how it's been cleaned up for bicycles. There's no bumps anymore, and please do that. I would love to, you know, put him on my show. So that would be great. We'd make this an international show with some stringers out there. And, yeah, so, and it also, if you have any other ideas, or if you have sound files or whatever to send me, send them to bikescape@sbcglobal.net. sbcglobal.net. Bikescape. And, anything else? I think that's it. It's a short show this week. I really appreciate you listening and having patience for these shows that are few and far between these days. It's the time of year. A lot of stuff going on in my life, but I try to get these out. And I appreciate you listening. And stick with it. And stick with the biking. Spread that gospel. I would really like to hear that something's happening in the world of bicycling from other places in the world. So keep the rubber side down. And take the lane. Bye, folks. Bicycles, roller skates, and you.